Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Apologies to everyone for the late start. I'm experiencing some technical problems with Blog Talk here. Let me see if I can. I'm actually still working on it, so you're going to have to listen to me stumble here for just a bit. No, that's not what I want. And that's not what I want. So how is everybody? You're hanging around out there so patiently waiting for this thing to get started. Okay, got that up. Let's look for... I took all this trouble to get out here to a remote Wi-Fi site so I could use my computer and play some of these wonderful cuts that my good friend Iggy has put in here for me. And then, of course, I get started with it here and it doesn't work. And the Midnight Garden. Let's try this.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. Now back to the Midnight Garden.
Okay. That's good. I like that. Now, what else are we doing? I have to apologize for being so shambled. I have been working furiously to try and make this show happen. And again, a little bit late, but we are on the air. And I hope you will join me between two seemingly unrelated pieces of fruit or vegetables. How about mustard? Tonight will be between the mustard and the yam potatoes. How that? We're sitting here between the mustard and the yam potatoes and talking of things great and small. And they'll just leave it at that. It's been a long, strange week. And so this ending to it here is probably highly appropriate. I was back home for a couple days, set with my folks. It was my father's birthday. He is 81 years old. He is full of wisdom. He is also full of confusion, I think, just about what is so much different about his life than he's used to. I think it's, this has been a long time coming, but I think it's, I think it has sort of sneaked up on him. He didn't, he hasn't felt any different, you know, from the way he always felt. And now I think it's come, the realization has come to him all at once. He is an 81-year-old man, but he gets around pretty well, and he has friends. He has 81-year-old friends, and they go and they play 81-year-old golf, and they play some 81-year-old poker, and they go to the 81-year-old McDonald's and have breakfast every morning. So it's a there we go. That is just not, that's just not proper right there. I could blame the waitress who came by and asked me a question, but that's not what happened at all. What happened was I accidentally hit the cutoff button with my thumb and I hung up. I hung up on the whole nation of Mucho Sasquatch fans. Now I'm back. So now I don't know if I have any people still listening, but I hope you are. I hope you're still there, and I'm going to do my best to not hit that button anymore. As people suddenly taking an interest in me, that's something I haven't noticed before. Used to have been, when I've done the show in the middle of a restaurant like this, I'd always thought that, you know, people would be taking some sort of notice of me, but they really never did until just now. Somebody wanted to know if they wanted to take the plates, and I told her she could, but she didn't. They're still there, so we'll see how this works out. I don't know. I just want to go. I come to a restaurant because I want to have a Wi-Fi source so I can use my computer, not just, you know, just because if I'm talking to the phone, that's all I can do is talk to the phone. She keeps I don't know. It's my position in the restaurant here. I'm in the corner, so people keep walking by. They're upsetting me. I'm sorry. Try to relax. Try to calm down the anxiety and continue doing the highest quality show that I possibly can. I saw your dad. He told me a story. He said that way back in the day, he worked at the shine stand, the shoe shine stand. And he said there were two of them in town. And the owner of the second one came to try and hire him away from the owner of the first one. And Dad said no, he had a pretty good deal going with the guy. So the first guy finds out that the second guy that he'd been talking, the dad had been talking to the second guy, and he fired Dad. So Dad ended up working with the second guy anyway. And it's just to try and hook me in to when this was happening, you know, it's where this was in the Dad timeline. I asked him, how old were you when that happened? And he said he was 12. So he was working at the shine stand at 12 years old. And he took his first full-time job at 16. And he worked at that place I think he actually did make it over 50 years before he was retired. And because he had, he wouldn't have worked there. He worked there and then he had a different job for a few years. And he ended up being retired because he had some heart troubles. But the heart troubles haven't bothered him for quite a long time. Let's say he keeps up with his exercise and keeps up with his chores around the house, although sometimes he takes a little bit of a confusing approach to them. And maybe he doesn't approach it, not quite the way I would. We want him to have something to do. He gets very bored. He's used to being busy. He's used to having a job where he worked 50 to 60 hours a week. And that's been gone for close to 20 years now, more like 15 years that's been gone. And he misses it. And he says that he misses it. And so we, when something comes up around the house that he can do, obviously we encourage that. Now, we've had our share of broken windows, and we've had our share of clothing racks that were put together kind of upside down, and we had our share of cable boxes that weren't wired quite right. But I think it doesn't do. I mean, why would you sit down and tell him that? It goes to his need to be useful, and I think we all feel that to some extent to another, and I think as we get older, we feel it more. It's the one thing I really like about this job I'm doing now, working in retail, that I am in some sense useful. I mean, there are people who want the product, and it is nice that I work in a place where they are actually coming in to buy the thing that we're selling. It's not a general thing like a Dollar Tree or something like that, where it's just everything all over the map. They are coming in specifically to buy the thing that we have. So I think that helps. And, when I hook a customer up with what they wanted, what they needed, that makes me feel good. And I think I feel that kind of a connection with Dad. I hadn't really thought about it in that way before. But I think Dad was never a powerful man. He was never a man that a lot of people listened to, but I think enough people listened to and enough people respected, and he knew that he was important to them and that what he did was important. And it's, the loss of that that troubles him today. So I am resolved to be more helpful in that arena now that my thinking has taken me to that area. How do I contribute to my father feeling useful? How do I do that? And I will think of ways, and I will do them, and in that way sort of fulfill that place that I occupy as his son, to be more worthy of that place, I guess. And they don't think of it as, you know, being worthy of, you know, a title or some sort of inheritance or whatever, just to be worthy of what he brought about, you know, caring for one thing. I shouldn't talk about the past tense. He's still here. And he still brings these things. I'm thinking about, you know, as a younger person, things you just don't think about your father or your mother, and the table that they set and the work that they do to make things easier, to make their lives, my life easier than theirs had been. So honor to Dad on his 81st birthday, and honor soon to my mother, who in a few weeks will be turning 78. And long may they reign in their kingdom. That house that they've lived in now for 41 years, we moved into that house 41 years ago, and they're still there and still, you know, taking care of it 100% themselves, because my brother and I certainly can't help. So it's wonderful, it's amazing, and all hail to them, and love to them too. Love you very much, Mom and Dad. So, I think I actually ended up being able to start with something fairly positive. That's not something I often do. Usually I start with a downer. And it would have been very easy to start with a downer, having started off with the technical problems that we had. But, I feel good about myself. I almost want to just leave my downers go for this week. I don't know if I can actually do that. It almost makes me want to leave the downers down. It's not a downer of a week. It's just been, you know, wow. You know, Dad's 81. Dad's sister and his brother have also been ill. He hasn't been ill. Dad's sister and his brother have been ill. His other brother, I was going to say older brother, older than the brother who's with us now, but not as old as my dad is. It's confusing to articulate those relationships. He had two brothers. One of them has passed away. The other one has been hospitalized for some time. And then his sister is also in the hospital now. You start to get that one man, last man standing kind of syndrome. I don't know if he's given me any. I've been thinking about that. I don't know that he's been thinking about that, but I know I've been thinking about that. So, you know, that stays on my mind. These people who were, I mean, you know, those people were always going to be there, right? And now to see them laid low in a certain way, those people who were giants in your life as you were growing up, and to see that, you know, not be the case anymore, or at least still giants, but not physically breaking down. It makes you wonder about, I mean, well, it gives you feelings about your own mortality. I remember I'm going to quote an episode of Roseanne now, where Roseanne says to her mother, played by Estelle Parsons, an Oscar winner, by the way. Roseanne's mother and grandmother were both Oscar winners, Estelle Parsons and Shelley Winters. So anyway, says to her mother, "I don't want you to get old." And Mom says, "Oh, gives you a hug." And Roseanne says, "Because you're dragging me with you, and I hate it." I guess that might describe my feelings. I want all of my relatives to be healthy and strong and feel better. But I have to confess that that's probably mostly for my emotional well-being than anything else. Because I guess in my heart, I still don't believe that they could really be gone. I mean, my Uncle Mike is gone. I know that. But I've got two more. At least my mom, and then my mom has brothers and sisters too. You just you don't think. Like you've got now two in the hospital. How can this be happening so fast? You know, it's whoa. Because I'm not that old. You know, I'm just 53. I'm just the age where these kind of things start happening to you.
You can make it from right now.
And haven't, you know, taken that great care of myself. So I see when I see these things happening, rather than I don't want them to be gone reaction, although certainly I don't want them to be gone, it tends to reflect back on myself because I am the center of the universe. And all things, you know, all things are measured in accordance with the way that they affect me. I haven't been in the hospital to see any of them either. That makes me feel bad, especially my aunt, because she was quite a bit closer. My brother went, I think, basically to show me up. And, of course, my mother goes every day. But I didn't. Hospitals give me the willies. We went to the hospital to. My mom had gone to get some tests. We went to pick up her results, and I was riding along. I was in the car for some other reason. And so let's stop by the hospital and get my test results. No, the hospital. So I went and hid in the gift shop. Well, the gift shop's a lot different. I remembered it. This is the same hospital in my mom and dad's. Hometown there, same town I grew up in. That's the same hospital where my daughter was born. And they've done a lot of work on it since those days, and it's nothing like it was then. Much simpler then. It's not the hospital that I was born in. It's not the hospital my brother was born in. And it's not the hospital either my parents were born in. It's just my daughter was the only one. Is the only one who dropped there, and then she's like my only connection to the place. I don't remember when I had my tonsils out. It was at the city hospital. I can't remember. My mother's been in the hospital a couple times. We went and saw my father. My father went to the. I went to the emergency room there once. My father went to the emergency room there once. Just not a strong connection with that space, except for the birth of my daughter, which is a very, very, very powerful connection. I remember seeing her for the first time, and there were three babies in the little baby, the little baby cave there, including my daughter. There was one that she was like 6 pounds, 2 ounces, if I remember right. There was an 8-pound baby and a 5-pound baby. And they had them arranged left to right, the smaller baby, my daughter, and the larger baby. So I was like small, medium, and large. And I pointed that out to a couple of people, and they didn't think it was very funny, which happens to me a lot. A lot of times I point out things to people, and they just don't think my witticism holds water, I guess. But doggone it, I thought it was funny. I had I was very proud of my wife at the time. Now my ex-wife, of course. It was like an island in a very stormy marriage, to make a clumsy metaphor. Because most of the rest of the time we were married, we didn't seem to care for each other much at all. But, you know, there was that period of 2-3 days surrounding the birth and the birth of our daughter. That's not right, because I've been saying my daughter, and I almost said my daughter that time. No, the proper way to say it would be our daughter, because, you know, we were both there. And I'm pretty this what this kind of dovetails into is a story I'm pretty sure I've told before about my granddaughter's birth And being at the hospital, sort of on my own, surrounded by my ex-wife's friends and relatives, and my ex, and we had not had a very cordial relationship. But she walked over and talked to me, and just sort of opened the door. And we talked about, you know, all the things that had happened when our daughter was born. And people, I guess, saw her come over, decided it was okay. They came over and started talking to me as well. So it was that birth, and then the connection to that earlier birth that sort of the curse was lifted in some way. That that cloud of hate that had existed for so long was dissipated, and it remains to this day, 8 years later, much better. My ex-wife is a Facebook friend now. She's very proud of her. She's gotten into art. She has a much better job than I have. She's really, from the time that I knew her, she has really embraced life. She's embraced it much more so than I have. And so I have this line of females to take as an example. My ex-wife, my daughter, and my granddaughter, who are all courageous. They're all they're always looking for that next thing that's going to enhance their lives. And it's a quality that I lack, quality that I wish I had. I need to keep watching them so I can make that manifest in my life. You may have just heard the dreaded Block Talk 90-second warning. Thank you for joining me for this abbreviated version of the show. We'll endeavor to find better Wi-Fi. I think that's probably, it's not so much Blog Talk, it's probably the Wi-Fi I'm using that screwed everything up. I think I just have to finally do what I said last week about putting down the smartphone and internet back in my house. It would eliminate a lot of these problems. But anyway, thank you for listening. And since this was messed up, I think I'll probably just go ahead and do another show. I mean, I have to put on the recording anyway. If I put an old show on next week for the Labor Day weekend. So I guess I will probably be here. So come on back and hear more stuff. And thanks for joining me this evening. Have a pleasant evening.